Service. On behalf of our founder and host, Sister Kimberly Skeen, we welcome you this evening to Freedom Radio. I'm Minister Dunlap, and I have the pleasure of co-hosting several shows with Sister Skeen since God started her on this journey last year. Here on Freedom Radio, we are here to engage in responsible and respectable dialogue. Just a couple housekeeping notes. The show airs every Tuesday night from 8:30 to 9:30 p.m., and that is on Eastern Standard Time. You can listen in by calling in to 914-338-1692 or listen via the Internet at Blog Talk Radio by typing in We Speak Radio Network in the search engine, and you'll find Freedom Radio with Kimberly Skeen. That's the place where you also can find the previous shows since 2011 as well. We have the benefit of great technology, so you can also follow us on Twitter at We Speak Radio or on Facebook on the We Speak Radio page, or you'll be able to chat with us during the show. So please help us to liven up the conversation with your comments and input. As we begin, we want to also remind you to press 1 if you want to join in on the dialogue. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be joined by some guests that I know you enjoy, as well as... Sorry about that. By their presence and also their conversation. So what I'll do is I'll introduce them individually as we begin the dialogue. But let me just let you know who we have with us. We have Brother Christopher J. McWhite. We also have Reverend Jeff Charlton and Dr. Dante Truss. So thank you, gentlemen, each and every one of you, for accepting the invitation. We look forward to your contributions tonight.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Let's just go ahead and jump right into it. First thing I'd like to do is just say a little bit about Brother McWhite, and we'll start off with that.
All right.
Hello.
Mr. Dunlap?
Hello?
I think they have some technical difficulties.
Certainly.
Okay. Hello, caller?
There you are.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry about that. Technical difficulties. All right. I don't know how much you heard, but I just want to start talking to Brother McWhite for a few. By way of introduction, Brother McWhite has been married for 16 years. I've known Brother McWhite for several of his adult years. He's a proud family man. I know Brother McWhite likes to sing in all types of choirs. Matter of fact, I believe he sings in 3 of them right now, maybe 4, at least 3 of them being within the church. I know Brother McWhite is from Indianapolis, Indiana. He lived in Georgia, where I met him several years ago, and now lives up in Massachusetts. So, Brother McWhite, thank you for being to the show. Today we're talking about living with diversity, and we know that that is a very big topic where it's sometimes not spoken about enough, and at other times it's spoken about a lot. So, Brother McWhite, we just want to get from you, how would you define diversity, or what is diversity to you?
Well, let me first thank you for making this opportunity for me to speak with you and all of our listeners about this important topic, especially as we go into this election season, because a lot of the concerns we have today are centered around our thoughts about what diversity is or should be. And when I thought about that question, where I normally go first off was go to the dictionary and ask, what does diversity actually mean? And it says that it's really a question of difference or unlikeliness or even a variety. And all it really means to me is, in a global sense, that you're looking at something that is other than just the familiar. It is looking at something that is different from what you are understanding as the norm. And so to me, it doesn't necessarily mean race or gender or even religion. it's really just anything other than the known to, as you know it. And that's what it means to me, Brother Dunlap.
All right, so let me ask you this, Brother McWhite. What does diversity look like as far as the context that you come from? Give the callers or the listeners a little bit of understanding of where you come from and how you actually see diversity being played out in your daily life.
Well, where I come from a strong musical background, scholarship in college for voice and all the rest. And virtually every choir that I've been a member of, and I've always been the person who was the difference in that choir, or sometimes even in that church. I was typically the one who did not look like the others. Even in my in college, the classes that I took, I was the one who looked different than all the others. In the different associations that I've been a part of, I've always been the one who looked a little bit different. So I've always wondered what it would feel like to be in a situation where I was the same as others. So I could, because back in the day, my understanding of diversity was very myopic. I only understood it through the lens of color, and perhaps even through the lens of a gender. But it didn't. I didn't understand that diversity can mean so much more than that until after I was able to get out of myself and literally outside of my home state and see it from a more, to use the word, diverse location. And in my experience, diversity has been seen in the workplace, in my place of worship, and in my social organizations in many different states, Brother Dunlap.
Okay. Well, let's go to Jeff. Jeff, why don't you take a stab at it? How would you define diversity?
Well, in a nutshell, variety, or the differences of the individuals that could make up a group as a whole. That's what I would say, JR.
Okay. And can you just give a snapshot of what diversity looks like in, you know, in your daily life and the context that you come from? And just tell us what context that would be, whether it be religion or from the workplace. Talk to us about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, just giving you a quick background, my background, because I think it helps shape the way I look at diversity and meeting other people. I grew up poor. My parents were divorced, so a broken family, grew up poor, and then I moved in with my mom, who had married a man who was educated, and I guess I stepped up to, in terms of economics, up into a middle-class family, and then I left there and went into the Army, which, you know, from personal experience, is extremely diverse. And from there, I went to college and then went into the workforce, and now I am a seminary student at a Baptist seminary, and it takes up all of my time. So now I'm kind of in this little microcosm, if you will, where I see people at church and I see people at seminary, and everybody that I'm around is a Christian. And so it's like I said, a little microcosm at this point in my life, which is pretty different than what has been my historic past.
Okay. And then just for the benefit of our listeners, Jeff or Reverend Charlton, he lives up in, I don't know where Flowery Branch exactly is, North Georgia.
Yeah, Flowery Branch is it's right on Lake Lanier. So I live 10 minutes from Lake Lanier, and it's near Gainesville.
Okay, near Gainesville, Georgia. So some people may have heard of that. Mm-hmm. Just a couple other things. You know, Jeff is a licensed minister of the gospel. I know Jeff from, not from seminary, but from serving with him in the Georgia National Guard and in the chaplain candidate program. Another thing I know about Jeff is he's been a business owner for well over 10 years before he started pursuing the journey that he's on right now. So thanks again, Jeff, for those comments. And one of the things that you said, Jeff, was you talked about this helped to shape who you are. And I think that's one of the things that I'm really trying to get people to focus on as they listen to each one of you today, and Dr. Trust, as we bring him on in a minute, it is what shapes us.
Mm-hmm.
The experience that we go through in life, what has happened to us, what has not happened to us, it really does shape us. And I like the comment that you made about variety. That's really, really key, because if we can understand that we're all different in some way, shape, or form, then maybe we will be more willing to embrace variety from a whole bunch of different aspects than what we're used to. So thank you for those comments, Jeff. Dr. Truss.
Yes, sir.
I've known Dr. Truss for several years now, probably about 10 years. I believe he was born and raised in Alabama. I know he's married. They have two children. I know Dr. Truss has an earned doctorate degree, and I have to say earned doctorate degree. He's also an ordained minister, a business owner. He has his hands in a lot of pots. But the key thing that I remember from first meeting him is he's educated, and he's also down to earth, which is a very good mix to have. I know that he works in higher education, and Dr. Truss, you've been in that field for several amount of years, so I know you're going to bring some rich discussion with us today. But if you would just take a stab at it as well, you know, tell us what diversity is to you and also what it looks like in the context that you want to speak to us from today.
Okay. Well, first of all, as the previous speaker stated, I want to just thank you for allowing me to be a part of this panel. I'm very appreciative of that. When I think about diversity, I think about the concept of diversity encompassing acceptance and respect. You know, and it means understanding that each individual is unique, recognizing individual differences. These can be along dimensions of race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status, age, physical abilities, religious beliefs, political beliefs, and other ideologies. There's so many different things about the term diversity that we could speak on, because there's so much diversity out here. I mean, thought processes and the way we think, that alone brings us a certain amount of diversity. Where we come from, the culture that we come from, it all makes up diversity. Diversity, as someone already mentioned, is about the differences that we have, but more importantly, respecting and accepting and just respecting those differences. As you've already mentioned, I work in higher education. I get a chance to see people from all different walks of life, people from other countries, people from the city, people from the rural areas, people who are who have different beliefs than I have, and
right.
All of that helps to have a diverse population. It's so interesting just to sit back and watch and look at all the differences that people have, and also to see who's accepting of it and who's respecting it and who's not. And I get a chance as an educator to see all of that and see it play out in a classroom setting. As a matter of fact, I just taught a multiculturalism course, and as I taught that course, it was mainly African Americans, but it was one white person in the class, a white male. And I said he had a chance or an opportunity to see diversity from a whole different angle after noticing that he was the only person, the only white person in the classroom. And the experience that I think he gleaned from that was amazing. I think he'll have a different understanding of things that happen across the racial lines or the racial divide, probably better than he's ever had before. But as you've already mentioned, diversity is so much more than just race, and it consists of so many different things. And we probably just speak on that particular piece of it all night. But I'll take a pause right there and turn it back over to you.
All right. I thank you. I thank you. Just a reminder to our callers, if you would like to make comments or even ask any questions to our my co-host this evening, just press 1 on your dial pad. We'll be able to see that on the switchboard, and then we'll bring you in for the conversation. At this time, let's go to Shelley. Shelley, can you tell us if we have anybody out there on the social media sites, Twitter, Facebook, or even on the chat room that are making any comments at this time? All right. Looks like we have none, so we'll keep going. Dr. Truss, you mentioned about multiculturalism, and you also talked about education. So let me ask you this question. If you had an opportunity to teach some individuals or communicate to some individuals about what diversity actually is and some things that would maybe somebody who is not as educated in the things of diversity, what are some things that you think that you can kind of tell them to help them along in that area?
Well, again, as I mentioned earlier, begin to work on acceptance and respecting. You know, different is not wrong. Different is just different. So we have to learn to research the different cultures, research the different backgrounds, so that we have a clearer and a better understanding of who these things are, what this group stands for, and what this group is about. We have to cherish and respect, again, those differences. And, you know, I think as we look at corporate America and we look at how corporate America has started to embrace diversity and how it has, over the years, allowed people from many different backgrounds to be a part of their corporate boards and the corporate staff and the corporate team in order to be able to go out and sell their products to a larger base. You know, I think that we have to pay attention to that. Corporate America has really set up a very good model, and over the years have learned very well how to embrace diversity and embrace differences. So if I were with one for a moment and had only a couple of minutes to share with them, the moral of my lesson would be learn how to respect, learn how to accept, learn how to research so that you can find out more about the different groups that make up all the diversity that we're speaking of.
Okay.
Brother Duncan.
Go ahead. Brother McWhite.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you. I mean, you can answer it, you know, answer that same question if you would like to, but or maybe from a different perspective. But again, from your context, you know, what is something that you can do or something that you can put out there to individuals who may not be educated on diversity, at least in the context of where you're coming from, if you was within that same sphere of influence?
Well, one thing I can say is that I picked up on a word that the good doctor gave us earlier, and it resonated with me. It's a word called recognition. We often go out into the world today, and we tend to forget about important things like recognizing where other people come from, not only their race or their gender, but perhaps their social and economic background. In the church, a lot of times we tend to look at people who walk through the doors of the church looking for salvation, and we end up giving them a cold shoulder because they don't dress the way we expect them to, or they don't smell the way we think they ought to. So diversity really is a question of recognizing not only who that person is, but where they came from and what they represent, because every person has something valuable to offer to the conversation in whatever form that conversation comes. So if somebody were to ask me, you know, how am I going to explain diversity, I myself would be held up as an example, because I try to take the word, you know, that Jesus gave us, his last word was to go out into all the world and spread the gospel. He didn't say to do it to everybody unless they happen to be gay, or unless they happen to be Muslim, or unless they happen to be an American Indian. He didn't say unless there were no preconditions. He said, mm-hmm. Go into all the world. So anytime you have a message, a positive message to offer, I'm myself try to live an example of being open to that message, so that I can recognize that person for what they are and try to come to the truth of where they're coming from, Brother Dunlap.
Okay. Brother Jeff, you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Just from your context, Jeff, what are the normal type of characteristics that people in your sphere of influence think about when they think about diversity, if they think about it?
Well, I guess it's really honestly not a subject that comes up directly. It's more of one that comes up, I guess, incidentally in just conversations. And continuing on with the recognition line of thinking, I would say, you know, people taking it a step beyond recognition as in a surface level and going deeper and exploring what it means, for people to be diverse? What is the variety? That's one of the things that struck me in thinking about the diversity is understanding and getting to know people's worldview, what their outlook on life is like, what their past is, and where they come from. And through that, you know, one of the strengths is being able to learn from other people. You know, if they've struggled through something, being able to learn from them how they made their way through that, what tools they picked up along the way. And the flip side of that is what I thought was interesting about diversity is that it can help reinforce and help you appreciate your own uniqueness. God made us all unique, just like he said to Jeremiah, I knew you before I knitted you in the womb. I knew you before I made you, and you are unique. And, you know, Paul talks about it, you know, again, going back to my little microcosm, and within the church, you know, the Apostle Paul talked about the body. Well, we're all the body of Christ, but we're not all one big arm, and we're not one big eyeball rolling around. It takes all kinds of body parts to make up the body. And we've got to rely on each other, and we've got to appreciate each other. But we have to appreciate ourselves also. Arm can't say, I want to be an eyeball, when the body needs an arm.
Right, that's right. And, you know, one of the things that, picking up on what you said, you mentioned something about it being learned. We have to learn who we are, for one. We also have to be willing to learn other people. If we're not willing to learn about the struggles and what makes up the other individual, like you said earlier, what helps shape Jeff? If I'm not willing to have an understanding or gain an understanding of what helped shape you, then how am I going to embrace the diversity in you? It seems like it's going to be really, really difficult for me to actually be able to make that happen. And Brother McWhite, to Brother McWhite's comment about this being an election year, I really think this is part of or a very big reason of why God really put this subject into my spirit to get us to talking. Because if we go back to the last presidential election, we saw a lot of ugly things that we can all agree that God would not be pleased with. And we just don't accept the fact that this isn't a presidential election and these things are supposed to happen. We want things to be a whole lot better than what they are. So, you know, I could just tell you from my context, you know, I grew up in Philly. I grew up, you know, in the hood. You know, my parents, you know, didn't have a lot of money. I come out of a broken family as well. But I had, you know, mother and step-parents that, you know, stepfather that actually loved me. So, you know, there were things that I was missing, but things that I was not missing. And I can tell you what kind of really did it for me, and this goes back to that learning piece. I had to go back and start evaluating, okay, why do I accept diversity like I do? And I think back to I went to a school that was in a white neighborhood. I didn't know what type of school I was applying for. It was just a name, Abraham Lincoln High. So I went there. And now I'm surrounded by, you know, not mostly white individuals, but a lot of them. And then on the same token, when I got out of high school, the first place I went was in the military. So like Jeff, same thing applies. I was exposed to a very different type of organism or organization than I was back in the streets of Philly. And I can tell you, once I went to the military, my eyes got even more open to what real diversity is, because in the military, those who are on the line and those who will listen know that you have to be able to take care of each other. You got to watch each other's back. And accepting this diversity within that is really about survival. So right now, Shelly, can you check out and see if there's anybody on the chat room or any Facebook or Twitter comments that anybody wants to make right now?
Yes, Jay, can you hear me? JR, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Well, I tell you what, the conversation certainly is interesting tonight. And, of course, for those of you who are listening, if you're out there in Twitter land and you're following and tweeting with us, the dialogue tonight, we are on at We Speak Radio and on Facebook at We Speak Radio on the group page. And I have an interesting comment that I saw actually earlier today on Facebook, and it actually is a little bit on the other side of the fence of diversity, if you will, that would somewhat open up a paradigm shift for what we're all addressing tonight here. And it's not just even in color or in racial lines, but it looks like the concern here from this comment was even regarding our actual churches. Let's just say that the church in and of itself, what are we doing to even be diverse from generation to generation to make now the love of Christ be understood and more explained to those who are of a younger age, be it in our song, be it in the way we're providing services at church, or even be it in the way we are preaching? And is that diversity within our subcultures, within our groups, be it we have a few blacks and whites in the same place, but are we even diversifying our service as a ministry and that organism, saying that we're able to break away from tradition and now stretch ourselves out to provide some services that are diverse enough to please satisfy and keep up with the generation that is coming up in Christ now, that are giving their hearts to Christ but may have some tattoos and earrings in their noses? So that's a little bit on the left side of the fence. Not sure if we want to go there, guys, but that's what's going on, and I saw that comment earlier on Facebook. Other than that, Jay, if you all want to address it, that's great, but that's where we are on Facebook, out here in social media. Back to you, Jay.
All right. Thank you, Shelley. Gentlemen, do we want to even go there right now? Anybody want to make a comment on that?
Well, Brother Dunlap, I'll just briefly touch on that. You know, it's very unfortunate that on Sunday morning, between the hours of 8 and about 1 o'clock, depending on when worship starts at the different churches, we're probably experiencing one of the most divided times of the week. It's amazing
right.
that when we look at the makeup of many of our congregations, we don't see the diversity that we would like to see, especially as it relates to race. And if we break that down even more and look at our congregations, we probably will find that there's a divide between the educated, the uneducated, the young, the old, the married with children, and the single. And it's so unfortunate that we still have not developed strategies to bring all these different groups together. I see on many occasions where young people at some of the churches that I visit and I attend still can't seem to find their voice, and they come into the church with their earrings and their nose and the earrings and the ears and whatever else that, and their tattoos and whatever that makes them different. They're struggling to find a voice because I believe some of the more seasoned Christians are still not opening the pathway to allow them to have a voice and to allow them to have a place in worship because they're scared of what they bring. But as we have mentioned, or as one of the other speakers so eloquently spoke of, we are to spread the message to everyone. It's not a select group. It's not the ones that look like us. We're not just supposed to go to people that do things the way we do it. It's all about going out and spreading the word and spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone. Thank you, Brother Dunlap.
Thank you, Brother. We appreciate that. Brother Jeff or Brother McWhite, you don't have to make a comment on it, but if you did, I just wanted to give you the opportunity to make a comment on there.
I think it is important. This is Brother McWhite speaking. I think it is important that we recognize that, in particular in the church today, that is, as he said, the most, I think it was Dr. King who did say that it's the most divided time in America, the most segregated time in America, and I would dare say in the world, depending on where your faith leads you. But I've come into, quite unexpectedly, into what they called an American Baptist church. And we didn't have any real understanding of what that meant when we first joined that church. All we knew was that that church opened itself up to us here in Massachusetts in a way that no other church did, including some other Baptist churches, and there's a predominantly Catholicism is up here. But what we discovered was that in the American Baptist church, they're very concerned, almost to the degree of the Unitarian church, of accepting a person simply the way they are. As a matter of fact, when the youth have their jazz service, closed jazz service in the morning, they say, we all have the children go to the front, and we gesture towards them and we say, we love you, we appreciate you just the way you are. Mm-hmm. And we're not looking at them as children. We're looking at them as just being creations that God has given us the awesome task of being stewards of. And we love them just the way they are, not the way that that we're hoping they'll be, but right loving them right where they are. And we want to try to carry that message not only in the children, but also in each and every one of us as we go throughout our day. So that is one of the beautiful things that I found when I thought about diversity in the church that I go to, Brother Dunlap.
Okay. We have a caller on the line that wants to make a comment. So let me go to this caller briefly. Caller is calling from Georgia. So, caller, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Nice dialogue. I just wanted to make a comment in terms of diversity in the church. We say out loud that we want to embrace all that come and have a voice for the youth and have a voice for the minority. But as I grew up in a National Baptist church and I currently attend a Southern Baptist church where it's predominantly white, and the congregation is very welcoming to us. But what I found is that they prayed for diversity, prayed for other races to come, but once we get there, they have nothing for us. So I think it's key, even if we, within our own, I think Dr. Trust may have touched on this, there's a big generational gap where the youth and the seasoned Christians are there. We want the youth to be a part, but what are we doing to make them a part? We need to be welcoming to all once we get them there. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Carla. We appreciate that. Any of our guests want to make a comment on that?
You know, that's probably what – this is Brother McWhite. This is probably one of the most difficult challenges that the church has today. And to make it a more a macro conversation, all institutions have today. You know, we often say we want diversity. We want diversity. We hire diversity officers in our places of work. And we ask for our minister to reach out to the community, and when the community comes, then we look around like we're surprised that they actually came in. And it's very easy to say that you want diversity, but it's awfully hard to know how to cater to them because, again, it's the unknown. They're different. And even the way I'm speaking, we call them the they, them, as opposed to this is also a creation of God. So the challenge is, how does the church receive when God answers our prayers? I mean, I don't know if our minister on board wants to speak about that, but it looks like to me that is one of the greatest challenges of the church, to step out on faith and to receive those persons when they come into our midst as we've prayed for.
Well, Brother Dunlap, if I could just add, as we are praying for this diversity, it's so important that we begin to plan for it, where we begin to bring in persons who are diversity experts in relation to the church, bring them in and prepare our congregation for the diversity that's getting ready to come. It's so important that we begin to develop committees inside of the church that will begin to think about enhancing, increasing the awareness of this particular population that we're thinking that are getting ready to come in, or just the whole topic of diversity, getting the congregation ready to receive what they've been praying for. It's amazing to me, as the caller has mentioned, and I think I mentioned it earlier as well, how we speak about it, we say we want it, but we never actually prepare for it. And even when we begin to see it, we begin to push back from it in time. So I think it's so important that we embrace and we pray for it and we're ready for it, but more importantly, that we're trained. We have persons who are going to be responsible for creating strategies that are going to make sure that this diversity, that these persons who represent this diversity are feeling welcomed, and not only on that first visit or that second visit, but throughout their stay in our congregation. Thank you, Brother Dunlap.
You know, what you said, Dr. Truss, we pray for it, and Brother McWhite, but we have to plan for it. And here's the thing. And, you know, we all don't have to have the same thought process because we're all diverse, all four of us on the radio just right now. You know, what type of planning do we actually need to do? And I know I heard you mention about, you know, some diversity training. As a Christian, we can go back to the Word. We can go to the Bible and we can look at, okay, what are some instances in the Bible that talk about diversity? I think about Acts chapter 10. When the sheet came down, when Peter was on the roof, rooftop, and he was praying, and then he came into a trance, and then he saw what looked like a sheet that came down from heaven, and then the sheet had hoofed animals and reptiles and animals and birds in it, and Peter was trying to get an understanding of what that means or what that meant, and the Lord said to him, and spoke to him or communicated to him, you know, don't call anything common or uncommon that I've made. And I'm paraphrasing very loosely. I see a lot of diversity in that. And the key to that in those verses to me was Peter did not want to partake of any of the foods that had been previously told by God through the law of Moses not to eat. So he said, I'm not going to eat anything. You know me, Lord. I'm not going to associate or deal with anything that is not holy. I'm not going to deal with anything that is uncommon. And I think sometimes we have that same mindset as individuals. Now, if we look at what Peter was talking about, he wasn't doing it out of malice. And I'm going to give everybody a pass that's listening and everybody. I think sometimes we may be a little bit hard on individuals who don't embrace diversity sometimes. But if they don't know it, if they don't understand it, then we really have to be fair about the situation when they don't have the diversity that Reverend Charlton has because he was in the military or because of the diversity that Dr. Truss has because he's worked in the education field for so long or the service industry, public service industry of Brother McWhite because he's been there in that field and working in municipalities and governments, you know, for the last 15 or so years easy. I think it's a challenge. I think it's a challenge. The other thing I would say is a lot of times we look at diversity, and I put a question out there to about 17 people a couple of weeks ago, and I think this also kind of stemmed some conversation, and I asked them about diversity, and one brother said, are we talking about race? Because that's where our mindset actually goes to. So I just wanted to throw this plug out there that, you know, we're talking about diversity right now, but we're going to continue talking about it. We're not going to do it every week. The first Tuesday of the month, we're going to deal with diversity from different aspects. So we're going to deal with it from the aspect of race. We're going to deal with it one month from the aspect of the church because people want to know what's going on. People want to get an understanding of what's going on, and they see things. So we want to try to find or give responsible dialogue to try to get some solutions to these kind of things. Shelly, well, let's go to Shelly briefly, gentlemen. Shelly, is there anybody out there in the social media or in the chat room that you have any comments, further comments on?
Jay?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes. Jr. Hey, no, everything is clear, interesting dialogue. We're just sitting on the edge of our seats, keeping up with the comments here. So back to you, Jr.
All right. Let me ask this, or let me just put this out there and anybody can respond. We talk about race. That's usually the first thing that people think about. We talk about gender. But Dr. Truss, you mentioned a couple of things. You went kind of fast, and that's fine. I just want to highlight them. You know, when we talk about diversity, here's a very exhaustive list of what diversity is. It's age. It's culture. It's even having a disability. It's economic background. It's education, either having it or not having it. Being more educated, quote-unquote, or less educated. Ethnicity, gender, identity, geographic background, languages spoken, marital or partner status, physical appearance, political affiliation, religious beliefs and sexual orientation. So now that we have that understanding of what encompasses or makes up diversity, if we were to talk about the church and why we're not as diverse within the church, then we have to look at all these things, and y'all are welcome to agree or disagree with me, because that goes back to what was mentioned before about planning. We pray for it, right? So if you get somebody who has a disability that, quote-unquote, is making some noise because of their disability in your congregation, how do you respond to that?
Well, give me the last part of that question. Give me your last part of your question.
How do we respond to it? So, for example, if we're praying, dealing with the church, for an example, if we're praying for some diversity in our church, let's say my church is predominantly African American and I'm praying for diversity, but God sends a family that has a disabled child who makes some noise because of their disability. We're not used to that. God gave us what we asked for, did he not?
Absolutely. Well, I think as you mentioned, when you recap the definition of diversity, when you look at all the different variables that make up that term, and when we begin to pray for it, again, we have to be ready to receive what we receive. And as we bring in someone with a physical disability or whatever the case may be, I think, again, we use the same concept. And that's where we study and learn a little bit more about it, or a lot more about it. We begin to accept and respect it, and we recognize its differences, but then we begin to cherish those differences. And we begin to celebrate those differences. And we want to make sure that they feel as welcome as they possibly can while we're learning about it. And as we learn about it, we further plan so that we can continue to make their state comfortable while they're in our congregation. Thank you, Brother Dunlap.
All right.
I think that's an important thing. You had lifted up a couple of Bible verses to support the conversation, and I'm sorry, this is Brother McWhite. I had an opportunity to take a peep through a couple of websites, and one passage really jumped out at me completely, and that was in James 2, 9 and 10, which basically says that you need to respect people, and you should not have respect of person, because if you do, then you're committing a sin. It's important to understand a person for who they are, because in this passage he was talking about, are you going to respect the man who comes in dressed to the nines more so than the person who is clearly poor that has come in and come to sit down? And when the rich man comes in, you're going to sit him in a good spot, where the poor man, you're going to have him sit by the footstool. You know, and unfortunately, that's a lot of what happens, you know, not only in the church, but also in all of our different areas. I mean, it happens when you go to the sporting arena. You want to go and see your favorite sports team. And before you even walk in the door, they're already dividing you by saying, well, what can you afford? They don't even ask you that. They say, well, this is what the ticket price is, and if you can afford it, then you can go and sit closer to the team that you care about. You know, so diversity happens on a variety of levels. I mentioned earlier about economics, diversity of your ability to purchase your way, if you will, into different situations that you know that you should have a voice in, but you don't necessarily have the opportunity to because you can't afford to do it. We even saw that say to a greater extent in the Supreme Court when they argued the whole case about whether corporations have a voice. And so corporations essentially saying that, yeah, we ought to have a voice, and so let us be diverse in how we're going to say, but at the same time they were saying we wanted to speak it as a monolith, as if
right.
A corporation is going to be in and of itself speaking for all the persons in their employees simply because they work there. So we have a lot of challenges both within our social organizations, professional, and in our economics as well. Brother Dunlap, I think that's what it says.
And Jeff, if you'll join in real quick on us, if you like, me and Jeff are both part of the same denomination, Southern Baptist. yet me and Jeff have a very good relationship. So here's what I was thinking about. I said, you know, if I was to come into somebody's congregation, and I'm African-American and Reverend Charlton is white, if I was to come into Jeff's congregation, I believe that I will be accepted because I have a relationship with Jeff, correct?
Correct.
So if I came to Jeff's church or Reverend Charlton's church, I believe people would accept me because I have that relationship with him. But if I was off of the street, or if it was vice versa in you know, Brother McWhite's church or Dr. Trust's church, how do we deal with that, Jeff, if you can, or what's your thoughts on dealing with things like that when we haven't planned for it, when it's not something that we've prayed for? I could just tell you, the church that I go to, Arbor Heights Baptist Church, I didn't know people prayed for diversity until I got there.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, it's not something that we pray for. We really focus on praying for the lost. And whether that lost person is white, black, brown, we probably even take one that was green if they just came off the street and said, hey, I want to learn about what you guys do, or even, you know, I need some help.
Right.
Last year there was a black guy who came in to our church, and it is a predominantly white church, but there was a black guy who came in who had moved down from Detroit, and he didn't have any family. He just came down here looking for work. We just, grabbed his hand and set out about trying to find him a place to stay, trying to find him food, just trying to help him out. The whole diversity thing works. You know, our biggest challenge is that, you know, that there's a difference in that variety. It's interesting, people who a black person who might come into my church and say, hey, I want to see what white church is like. I want to see what church is like when white people go. Well, I can tell you from experience, it's different than being in a black church. It's definitely low-key compared to being in a black church. And sometimes, you know, I'm sitting in church, and I'm praising, and I got my hands raised, and I'm about the only one in the room, and I'm just glorifying God, and I'm in the Spirit. And I think, man, I wish more people in here would be the same way. But that works. What I've realized over the years is that very conservative person who only sings the Southern Baptist hymns and that, you know, that's the way they worship, they connect God on the same level that I connect God, that I connect with God on raising my hands and just, you know, singing loud and loving contemporary worship style. Those people are connecting with God. I'm connecting with God. And there is that's what we should appreciate, and not divide between each other. If I go into a predominantly black church that's very gospel and just loud and everybody's dancing, I need to realize that, okay, that's the way those folks worship. And
right.
And if I go into that church, I probably don't need to expect that they're going to sit in the pews and, you know, kind of tone it down. I'm like, you guys be who you are. You worship God
right now.
You worship God. And vice versa, if we are praying for diversity, the person that comes into the church, I think there is a danger in saying, okay, we're going to do everything we can to make that part, to do that person's way. There's a uniqueness in each of us, and we do have to appreciate that uniqueness in each of us. And that's why it is diverse. If we start changing the way we do everything, now I'm not talking about, you know, things that are unacceptable should be changed. But if we change, if we, you know how the Army is, everything's an amalgam. You know, they say, okay, you need to accept everybody as being different, but you're going to do it one way. I think there's a danger in that. We actually end up losing diversity whenever we do that. Whenever we try to change good established patterns, I guess, of worship or behavior. Again, I always take it back to the church because that's where my mind and heart and life is.
Right, right. Dr. Trez, Brother McWhite, any comments on that?
I'm not entirely certain how to follow that one. I think he said it really, really well for me.
Yeah, I think he covered it very well. Covered it very well.
And one of the things that I think about is if we are looking for diversity, if we're looking for it, that's one thing. You know, you have the opportunity to plan for it, and you may be praying for it, but when you're not looking for it and it just hits you, like Brother Charlton was saying, y'all weren't asking for this black man to come down from Detroit. So you didn't change everything about who you were as a congregation. I think that's really, really important. I'm glad you brought that out, Jeff. That's important not just for church, but for everything, all of these different areas. You know, there may be some areas where you have to make some major changes. You know, when we talk about individuals with disabilities, there's some major changes that you may have to make in your business to get your business up to code. And Brother McWhite can tell us more about, you know, or confirm that if I'm saying it the correct way. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brother McWhite, is that right?
Yeah, there's a lot of challenges in getting, you know, actually, I'm glad you said that because it didn't even occur to me that should be a question of diversity. I don't know if it's too early in the conversation to bring it up or if it's too late, but I actually am a building inspector going on some 12 years now, 12, 13 years, haven't done that. And part of my job is to go into public facilities and explain to people or into private homes and to explain to them why what they're doing either meets what the life safety code says or it doesn't meet it. And I have to be clear in my explanation. Now, a lot of times when I go into these situations, they hear me on the telephone and they're looking for a particular type of person to show up when to do the inspection. And then when I arrive, I don't look anything like they expected. And then when I start to explain to them the situation of what they're in, sometimes they don't want to receive it because of what I look like. There's some assumptions that are made based on what I look like, and they're saying, well, you shouldn't be speaking. Even within my own community, they would look at me and say, oh, well, you're trying to sound like this race or you're trying to act like that race. And I say, no, I'm just trying to speak intelligently and clearly. So why does it have to be the province of one particular race over another? So when we speak of diversity, sometimes we divide, taking the word division, diversity, divide even within our own selves. We look at ourselves, and that's my concern when we even start to feed upon ourselves and say that you must be in this category or that category before I am comfortable enough to speak to you. But since many of us in this conversation, if not all of us, are from a faith background, the very basis of faith is to step out off of what we know to be comfortable and to use that faith to speak to those that we don't know. That's the whole basis of what faith is. And that's how I personally approach diversity on my own, faithfully, Brother Dunlap.
You know what? Y'all are really making this show live tonight. Shelly, we only have about 5 minutes left in the show, everybody. So, Shelly, is there any comments from anybody out there in the social media networks that we'd like to bring to the forefront before we get ready to conclude with some final comments from our guests?
Well, actually, we have one follower there on Facebook, and she really makes, I believe, just a general summation of the conversation tonight where she says, we all come from a diverse background. We view things from our own vantage point. However, it is not her opinion that when dealing with cultural diversity, knowledge is the key to understanding. We no longer live and work in an insular marketplace. Communication styles, mannerisms, family structure, tradition, and response to authority. I think we should embrace each individual where they are and not be critical of one's different culture, diversity, and let's learn from each other. And that is one of our faithful followers actually on our Facebook following group at We Speak Radio Network. So we certainly like to appreciate Ms. Banks for that comment. Other than that, great dialogue tonight, guys, and we appreciate you all listening. Again, if you want to stay connected with us during the week, please like us on We Speak Radio Network on Facebook and or tweet with us on We Speak Radio at We Speak Radio on Twitter. Thanks again for the conversation tonight, and we look forward to the dialogue during the week on our social media platforms. Back to you, Jay.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, gentlemen, we are winding down. We have a little over 3 minutes left. So let me go in reverse order if I can. Dr. Truss, can you just give us some closing comments, 30, 45 seconds, if you will. Let us know, you know, how should we take this to go to the next level?
Well, first of all, I want to just thank you for having this topic. I think this is a topic that should be discussed throughout our different congregations. As we begin to embrace, as we begin to learn more about the differences that really make us great as a country and make our congregations even greater. Again, I think training has to take place. I think as we're planning and putting together strategies, we have to make sure that we're putting a plan in place as these persons begin to fill our congregation. As much as we don't like talking about diversity and all the things that make us different, we have to do it. It's a must. It's something that has to take place. Again, I thank you for the dialogue. I thank you for allowing me to be a part of it. That's my closing thought.
All right. Well, I thank you so much. And don't be surprised if I call on you again, because a lot of these comments that we're making, they're going to bleed over to other subjects. So, with about 2.5 minutes left, Reverend Charlton, closing comments, if you will, sir.
Yeah, Brother J.R., I just appreciate you bringing this to light and bringing it out and putting it out for discussion, and particularly for moving it beyond just a race-gender issue. It's been stuck on that for so long, and for their own nefarious reasons, so many politicians just seem to dredge race and gender up over and over, and it's pigeonholed our society into saying, okay, well, either diversity, if you know, the only thing that's the only subject of diversity that needs to be spoken of is race, or the only subject of diversity that needs to be spoken of is gender. We can't even move past those two onto these others. I won't even age, disabilities, and just the different the things that give us variety. And I appreciate you wanting to just open this up for discussion and bring in a great variety of people to talk about this issue. I love you, man. Great job.
Love you, brother. Appreciate you so much. Brother McWhite, 30 seconds, good brother, 30 seconds.
I want to lift up an odd voice because of my musical background, Lady Gaga. And I know y'all may have your personal opinions about her, but I think that she has probably said it best. She says, I was born this way, and God makes no mistakes. And I think that if we're going to be true followers of Jesus and his teachings, that we need to understand that if God truly has made no mistakes, and we are born the way we are, black, white, or woman or man, or in all points in between, we need to respect each person as created and as the Creator has made us. Thank you, brothers, for having me on.
All right. Well, brothers, we thank you so much on behalf of Sister Kimberly Skeen, who will be back with us next week. Next week, she'll be touching on or dealing with shame from past mistakes and how to overcome the shame. We'll be doing a 3-week series on shame, fear, and worry. So until next time, 8:30 to 9:30 next week, God bless you. We love you, and we will see you on the next go-round.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.